dawn of the death, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears hear my cry for mercy. O Lord, hear my voice. My soul waits for the Lord. In His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. If you, Lord, kept a record of sin, oh Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. My soul waits for the Lord. In His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning. Israel, hope in the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem. My soul waits for the Lord. In His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than the watchman wait for the morning. More than the watchman wait for the morning.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight on the Late Call. Got a great program, part two of Celestial Beings. Are we from heaven? Are we from above? Or are we of the earth, earthly? Is there a difference? What about the future? Is it on a foreseeable timeline? What about the past? Can it be recalled? Called to remembrance. Is there a people on earth that has the power to know all things, that can do all things, that has a purpose other than being people of the world? What about the process of the celestial beings? What's the difference between a celestial being and a terrestrial being? Is there a difference between a flesh man, an Enosh man, and an Adam man? Will the Bible speak in reference with an education for those who would like to know, to put off the former things, to put on the new? Notice this. And so, this is the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 27. And so God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created He them. Now notice this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Chapter 2, verse 1. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. And these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth which were created. In the day that Yahweh made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For Yahweh had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, if the man that was created on the eighth day is the same man that he created on the first, or the sixth day, that six-day man, what's the difference between the two? That's what we're trying to arrive at. The Bible says that Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. Enoch was translated by Yahweh, according to Hebrews 11 and 5, and did not see death. And Moses appeared in the transfiguration with the Messiah in Matthew 17 and 3. Now, what does these scriptures prove of the three men that went to heaven while the Messiah was alive, according to the scriptures? John 3:13 is the cruncher or the clue that we're searching for tonight. The whole premise of the search is in John 3:13. No man has ascended into heaven except he that came down out of heaven. No man. Now here is a true indication that Moses went to heaven. The Bible reveals to us in the book of Jude that when Moses was resurrected, he'd been dead 1,500 years approximately, somewhere. We know where that he died, Deuteronomy 34. The Bible said that Moses died and was buried. And therefore, for him to be in heaven before he was resurrected from the dead, according to 1 Corinthians 15:52, that ain't going to occur till the last trump. Did Moses really resurrect? Did he preempt the final resurrection? Or is there a final resurrection? Or are you resurrected when you die? Is that the sequence of events? With these questions all beg an answer, let's go over to the book of 1 Corinthians for just a moment and see exactly what's going on here in the Bible and what it talks about. Now listen to this. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now most Christians believe that there is a day that the dead will come back to life in a future time. Future. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Well, we know that he rose. Now, here's the startling evidence that people have got to contend with. I'm not bringing this up to bring a complex a set of circumstances that has to be dealt with. Notice this. Now, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and our faith, or your faith, is also in vain. And so then, if there's not a resurrectional process, when did it begin? We find things like, no man has ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven. even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Even he could not descend because of the fact that he had to ascend if he descended. And that proves here that if Christ hasn't risen and are preaching his vain, we know he rose. Well, if he rose, then how about these other guys? Where did they come from? Elijah, Enoch, and Moses. Well, is that the only ones he mentions? Certainly not. Here's the sticker. Here's the problem. We have someone else other than Elijah talking with the Messiah. We have basically the fourth man here to deal with. We find out that John the Baptist, who was beheaded, was purposely included in the reckoning of Matthew 17, when we find that Christ himself said, "For you that will hear this, you that will acknowledge the fact that Christ is risen from the dead, that Elijah is risen from the dead, that Enoch has been transported to heaven, and that Moses has transported to heaven, and that John the Baptist joined these men, whoever they were, or whoever they were at one time, if the translation without death is reckoned with, no man has ascended into heaven except that he first came down out of heaven." Here's the dilemma of the celestial beings as opposed to flesh men. Flesh and blood shall not inherit. It can't go to heaven. It's impossible. Where we said last night, Christ said, "Where I go, you cannot come." That's what he meant. Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, and John the Baptist, whoever they were, and take your choice and take your pick. If you believe it was Elijah standing there talking to him, then we know that Elijah went up in a whirlwind, according to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And yet, the Bible says that there has to be a resurrection. Well, if he didn't die, how could he be resurrected? If he went back to heaven, did he come from heaven? That's the question. These things, here it says in Colossians 1:18, that in all things the Messiah might have the preeminence. Yahweh, Yeshua, the Savior, had to be the firstborn from the dead. The first to be resurrected into eternal life. The first to ascend into heaven. Really? Now wait a minute. If anyone preceded him, then he wasn't the firstborn from the dead. Since some people believe that Enoch and Elijah did not die, but that Moses did die, then that would mean that Moses had the preeminence over the Messiah and that he went into heaven. What difference does it make? If he's the firstborn, of course he's the firstborn from the dead. What about Moses? When he was there, was it not that it was the tabernacles before the Passover, the last Passover that he kept when he was killed in the second Passover? Here's Moses preceding and has the preeminence of being going into heaven. We find from the book of Jude that there was a war in heaven because of Moses. And the Messiah confirmed it. He said, today the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violence takes it by force. We know that Moses was dead and buried because it's written in Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 and 6. And therefore, for him to go to heaven, he had to be resurrected from the dead. And according to the way people interpret it in 1 Corinthians 15:52, that ain't going to occur until Elijah Trump. Or when Christ returns, there's going to be a resurrection. Now, the Bible don't say that. The question is, when is the resurrection? Well, listen to what Christ declared himself. Put him on the witness stand. Let him do the talking. Don't be led about by the tradition of these churches who devour the flesh of carnal concepts. Just like the children of Israel lusted for the flesh of the birds, the fowl from heaven, the same thing applies to these carnal concept Christians that have been drilled. In other words, their mind is like it's like a phonograph record. It's grooved to play in one groove. They cannot, in light of the spiritual comprehension of when someone deep begins to preach the deep things of Yahweh, and they were astonished at the Messiah's doctrine, he said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Did Moses die? According to Christ, he did not die. Did Elijah die? According to the scriptures, Elijah was John the Baptist, and he did die. His head was cut and removed from his shoulder. We know he died. And yet, we find in Matthew 17, 3 through 18, we find something about in regards to no man has ascended to heaven, but the man that came down. Did Moses and did Elijah? Remember, Moses was found floating in a little marsh or a water of reeds in a little ark. He was found floating. Was he a celestial being from heaven? Are we behind by thinking in carnal, fleshly concepts, and we can never raise our mind to the preeminence over the flesh man? Is there no spirit at all left in Jacob Israel? Have we all become carnal? Have we all become void of understanding? How long does a man have to preach, and what does he have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt? That men came from heaven and reascended into heaven, and is confirmed in John 3:13. Example after example that Christ is the resurrection, and if you believe in him, you ain't going to die. Yeah, we've got these carnal conceptors that these Easter time Sunday worshipers standing over in the graveyard waiting for a future resurrection for the dead to get up. Christ is not the God of the dead. For in him you never die. That's a different concept. Can you grasp that? Can that sink down into your understanding? And can you hear the word that proves that in all things we might have the preeminent? When you got the preeminent, he said, these works shall you do, and greater works shall you do. We're walking far below our level or our potential simply because we have been brought down to the barnyard with the chickens and the buzzards and the earthly fowl and the common things when we are kings, royal priesthood, passed from death unto life, never die, and children of the King. Celestial beings from heaven that we are resurrected now into eternal life. Oh yes, these bodies, these terrestrial flesh beings, where it's mentioned here in the scriptures. Notice this. There is, if you be a body of a flesh that differs. Now, notice this. For, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, through the body process, the Spirit, we know the body laid dead in the tomb, entombed on the high Sabbath, which was the 15th day, went in on the evening of the 14th. He laid there from the evening of the 14th into the Sabbath and rested for one day and one night. Now, he's up. He's become the first fruits, and he is the ripened grain, the grain offering. He became the grain offering, the fulfillment offering, or nothing. Paul said, is it not that since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead? For as in Adam, all die. That's that physical man. Even so in Christ, in the anointed, the word Christ. Now, think about this. Don't think about a person. Think about a spirit. God, Yahweh, the Messiah, is a spirit and shall be all made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the eternal, the spirit, the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Well, did he come back on the day of Pentecost? Was there a resurrection of the dead? Was the Holy Ghost given? Did people raise from the dead? Was it not seen that in his first resurrection, there was a great host that came up out of the graves? And were seen in Jerusalem? Now, the question is, were they seen in old carnal, fleshly concept, Jerusalem, as a lot of people... You see, a lot of people won't deal with this. They won't preach on it. Very few preachers ever make a mention that there was a resurrection from the dead, Christ and the first fruits. Blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection. That's a spiritual resurrection. Where you never die anymore. Christ in you, the hope of glory. According to 1 Corinthians 15:52, those that are the anointed ones at his coming, everybody's looking in a carnal concept coming. The Bible said he cometh not with a carnal eye. Now remember, in the book of Luke, in chapter 20, he cometh not with a carnal eye or with carnal observation. But the world's looking for him in a carnal observation. They're looking for him to split the eastern sky. They're out in the graveyards waiting, decorating the dead, honoring the dead. waiting for a resurrection. What about that, Pastor Buddy? Who's going to raise in that day? Remember, the Bible said, they that remain will not prevent them but sleep, for they're coming back with the King. Is it not written that He's coming with a great cloud of witnesses? He's coming to reveal Himself in you, the hope of glory. If you don't have Him now, you'll never have Him. Now you're risen from the dead. Now you're a mighty one. Why would you have to wait? Yahweh is here now in you. If so be that Christ be in you, now if any man have not Christ, you're none of his. Michael won the dispute when he took Moses to heaven. Since there's no mention of heaven, and the book of Jude talks about it, we assume that he was taken there because the Bible said there was a war erupted because he desired the body of Moses. And there's various reasons for why Satan disputed about Moses' body. A lot of people don't understand this celestial being. Man, if he could have got into that glorified body, and just like the swine that desired to possess people. And when Christ, in the analogy of putting those demons who can rule or can reign or possess flesh bodies, question, can they possess celestial bodies, the Creator bodies? There's a difference between the Enosh, the created, and the Enoch, the Creator. You see, there's a concept here that most Christians don't grasp. They can't get deep enough in the spiritual realm to understand these two powerful verses of John 3:13 and Colossians 1:18. How else can you explain what happened to Enoch, Elijah, Moses, John the Baptist? Both of them were seen there talking with the Messiah about His soon coming death. Not His light or His life, but His death. It was once appointed for that man to die. Not you. That man. In you, if you believe in Him, you will never die. That's a concept variance that people miss right there. They can't grasp it. Their carnal mind just cannot conceive it. Notice this. Now, if the dead raise not, why else, and what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand you in jeopardy every hour? You see, this has to be an eternal now thing, not a temporary wait and then an eternal now thing. Christ in you now. Same yesterday. Yes, the concepts of the future on a foreseeable timeline can be reckoned with in forecasting the future. All the prophets did it. Christ foresaw a timeline. So if it's man, the eternal beings, are capable of forecasting the future, certainly they know the past. If a man die, will he live again? And the carnal concepts say, oh no. And I'll give you a comparison. Martha had a carnal concept of the resurrection. Oh, she said, I know he'll raise in the resurrection. Oh my, what a comeback. What a powerful statement that was declared by Yahweh. I am the resurrection. And though you were dead, yet shall you live. And further to the eternal beings. If you believe in me, you will never die. Do you believe that? Michael won the dispute. And Satan said, no, you got to die and pay the price. I'm proving you're a sinner. Matthew 17:9 said, tell the vision to no man. Was it just a vision that he saw? Peter, James, and John, did they really see Moses and Elijah? Or John the Baptist? Which one did they see? You take your pick. The Bible said they stood two men talking. Was one of them Elijah? Or was one of them John the Baptist? If you can tell in the concepts of spirituality and what provoked the war in heaven, they didn't say they fought over John the Baptist. They didn't say that they fought over Elijah's body. But the Bible said there was not a prophet any greater than John the Baptist. And yet the battle was for Moses. Why? Have you got any concepts, spiritual concepts? Can you take wings like an eagle? Can you soar into the heavens with your understanding? Or are you carnal, marred in the buzzard bait dens of iniquity, where they eat and regurgitate all of the traditions of carnality? Isn't it time for you to raise from the dead and rise and shine? For the light has come to be resurrected now into eternal life, not some future event. Christ coming taught the concept. If you could believe, you can do this if you believe. Why can't they believe? Why won't they believe? Do they need to believe? Well, of course they need to believe. What's important about believing? That you can't die. That you're alive forevermore if you have those concepts. That if you understand the process here. But if you're one of those who have no hope, as was Martha, I know he'll raise in the resurrection, Father. And what is man's destiny? What purpose is there? Why were you born? What is his purpose for your life? Do we exist after death? Are we still as Moses and Elijah and Enoch and John the Baptist and the Messiah himself? Did life continue? And the answer is an astounding yes. Without any hesitation, we find that yes, there was and there is away for us to achieve our goal, which is to have an eternal spirit. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. In what body does he reap? What body does he pay in? Is it the present body? Could it be a future body? You believe in that. You believe that if a man goes to hell, he's going to burn forever and pay for the sin, because no sin's going to enter in, and all sin is going to be destroyed. Listen to this. A lot of people don't understand the concepts, and therefore, they don't understand the cause of sin. Sick in nature. Listen to Proverbs 26, verse 2. It is a beautiful scripture here in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. I want to read that for you. The curse that is causeless, without a reason, that cannot come a curse, it will not come because you're going to reap what you sow. If you haven't done anything to receive a curse, it won't come to you unjustly. Because you reap what you sow. Remember, when you find yourself negative and down, defeated in despair and agony, you ain't got no faith because you're around nobody to preach faith to you. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Blessed is he to whom Yahweh will not impute sin. Have you ever read that scripture? Have you ever wondered how to escape the curse? How to avoid the sin and not become a victim of sin? Notice this. And as the Messiah passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciple asked him, saying, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The Messiah said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." John 9, verses 1 through 3. If the man's blindness was caused by sin that he did, since he had been born blind from birth, the only possible time he could have sinned would have had to have been in a past life. And the apostles obviously understood this. And Christ did not contradict their understanding. Here, the concept of reincarnation is totally known and accepted by both the apostles, who understood what he said, and the Messiah himself. And yet today, Christians faint because they've been vaccinated against the possibility, through the removal by the Catholic core of the New Testament. You see, ladies and gentlemen, 1,500 years before we got the New Testament, they monkeyed with it. They destroyed the evidence of sin being met by sin, eye being met by eye, tooth being met by tooth. All that's been taken out in a process has been placed there to take you away from the truth. 1,500 years of liars in charge of the New Testament. Go back to the Dead Sea Scrolls. All of the references, that's why that you haven't got the opportunity to read what the real disciples wrote. Because the Essenes were masters and keepers of the truth, the veil of light. And what we got is regurgitated. A lot of this New Testament crap is nothing but regurgitated, the stuff that's put in courtesy of the whore. And people's carnal concepts took to it like a duck taking to water. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. Die to sin once. Die to sin. You can only have your sins forgiven or made dead one time. And then when you go out and sin deliberately, you sin against your own body. And that is where we draw the line. Man is a spirit trapped in a flesh body. The physical man, the carnal man, who cannot, never will, and should not have any concepts of spirit truth. And that's why he's marred in his flesh mind, sitting around ever learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. What is man that you're mindful of him? Yahweh, you made him a little lower than the angels. And as they departed, the Messiah began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, "For this is he of whom it is written, of Elias," or Isaiah, 40, verse 1, 2, and 3, quoting Elias, or Elijah, "I send my messenger before my face, which shall prepare my way before me. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." Powerful revelated scripture, and confirmed that he was Elijah to come. But he said, only to them that can receive it. Do you have enough spiritual mind to overcome the Enosh mind of the physical? Are you yet carnal? Don't you understand? Isn't there anything that the Word can do in your life? Make you understand from all the prophets and the law prophesied till John. The prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah. Here it says Elias in the Greek, which is not for someone else, but which is for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11, verse 7 through 15. And then he declared, "Today the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Man, the war began. The carnal concepts of flesh, Satan trying to keep it concealed. Nothing hidden that won't be revealed. And the revelation comes through the prophets, unless the prophets speak it from revelation. With a spiritual concept, you will never get the light. You'll sit in darkness. Blessed is he that cometh in the light to bring the news of the good gospel. Blessed, and how beautiful are the feet that stand on these hills and these mountains of spiritual concepts, that takes the carnal mind and destroys it with the sword, cutting away the flesh, hating even the garment spotted by flesh." Such a burden to break through the carnal concepts with spiritual understanding. Because the Bible said, if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that's lost. And many of Yahweh's children, the house of Israel, the bloodline recipients, or the sheep, are out there grazing with the goats in the carnal concepts. There's going to be a separation. Sheep from goats. And tares from wheat. There is not risen a greater. But then, here's the catcher, 22. Here's the Messiah's word. Here is the scriptures. But I say unto you, as his disciples ask him in the book of Matthew 17, verse 10 through 13, read it and check it out. His disciples ask him, saying, why then do the scribes, he just got through quoting in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that Elias must first come. Elias is Greek for Elijah. That was Elijah. And the Messiah answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things, but I say unto you that Elijah has already come, and you knew him not through your carnal concepts. He was here. He visited. He suffered. He died. Not a greater prophet on the earth ever born that come out of heaven. This man came from heaven. And Christ, the Anointed One, the Begotten, the Preeminent One, the Revelator One. He knew who He was. Elijah has already come, and they knew Him not, but have done unto Him whatsoever that is written that they would do. And then, the disciples understood. And I pray for your understanding in the celestial family tonight, that you be fixed and transfixed on the heavenly things. Discard the regurgitated buzzard bait food that they lay up for you in the storehouses of Baal to feed you the carnal concepts and to stroke your ego to a seem right way. And Yahweh in turn hides the gospel from them that perish with the using of the carnal concept. And then the disciples understood that He spake unto them of John the Baptist. Matthew 17:10 through 13. He's clearly, without a doubt, saying that the Spirit, that it was Elijah, reborn as John the Baptist. Notice this. Only them, Christ said, remember what He said, if you can receive it, receive it. If it goes over your head, it's because it's heaven and the carnal concepts can't reach this understanding. No wonder He hid it from the wise and the prudent. No wonder the people is laid in these bell boxes, eating buzzard bait, eating goat food, growing up among the tares, not realizing that they're eagle kind, that they're celestial family. Born not again, but from above. A concept is so different. No wonder the word you're justified in by your word you're condemned, and you're hung on your carnal concept, thinking that you're doing God a service. And there is a different kind of flesh. There is a flesh of the celestial, flesh of the beast, flesh of man, the Enosh man, the six-day man, is not the man that's driving the vehicle of the eighth-day man. He's a totally different spiritual being. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Well, no wonder they don't want Pastor Buddy to preach on the radio. Messiah prophesied that Elijah himself, not someone like him or not someone similar to him, but Elijah himself would return before the Messiah came. 40:1, behold, a voice crying in the wilderness. And John, the Revelator, brought that scripture thousands of years in the past, recalled it to the future, and quoted it verbatim. I am the spirit of one crying in the wilderness. Flesh profits nothing. No wonder he didn't give no glory to his flesh body. They prophesied that Elijah himself, not someone else or someone like him, Elijah, if you'll have it. Now, how'd he get here? You solve that dilemma. You smoke that in your peace pipe. You bring that to a conceptual birth. Let your mind sprout a seed in that vein. Or in that walk. Walk where it's a straight way, where no unclean thought, no carnal concepts can enter in. The Messiah himself declared that John the Baptist was Elijah, who had returned and stated it bluntly, deliberately, and convincingly. That Elijah had done come, and they had done unto him whatsoever had been written. Tell me that the future was a foreseeable time line written before he ever come. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That same voice was silenced by the sword of Ahab, the reincarnated Ahab, who was Herod, and by Jezebel, who had reincarnated as the queen Herodias. Here's these two royalties that were combatant Elijah, the one crying in the wilderness. Thousands of years prior to that, they battled on the scene, and thousands of years later, the war was refought in another timeline. Yes, for those who knows, you've been here from the very beginning. You were with him from the very beginning, and before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you and called you by name. He knew John was Elijah. He knew that great prophet. No wonder he gave John the allegiance of being the greatest prophet that ever walked. He was the reincarnation of Elijah, who the Bible said must have come down out of heaven before he was Elijah, because no man has ascended into heaven except he first come down. You can take that and deal with it. I know this is a meat message, and a lot of you buzzards can't receive it. A lot of you bastards will never grasp it, because you've never been to the fountain of understanding. John was Elijah himself, meaning that he reincarnated, if you can receive it, then reincarnation must belong in the Christian theology, which has had the editing done by the whore church, who themselves promise you liberty while making you captive to the carnal concepts of their understanding, because they, in order to exclude the celestial family of special royal priesthood sons and daughters, and brought in ever unclean fowl and cage of ever unclean bird to rest in their pews and promise them liberty when they themselves are servants of corruption. If John was not Elijah, then Christ lied, and you take it up with him. The Bible says that Elijah must come and restore all things. He came, and he restored the spiritual concepts, and he condemned the serpents when he said to them, "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Is reincarnation a truth? Has the Catholic Church decidedly convinced you that it's a sin to believe in reincarnation, that you're going to live again, or you've lived again, when the Bible teaches it from live to live, but it only teaches it to a celestial people with spiritual understanding? Are the prophecies of the Bible unreliable? Are you going to cast them out? Was he the Messiah? Did he know who he was? Are you going to argue with it? And as surely as 2 and 2 makes 4, one, you've got to decide on one concept or the other. In no uncertain terms, the Messiah says that Elijah was, John the Baptist was, Elijah indeed has come. Mark chapter 9, verse 13. I got to get off here tonight. I'm sponsored by Brother Mark down in the great state of Mississippi. Yahweh bless each and every one of you and your concepts. May your spiritual wings take flight into the heaven, and may you soar with the eagles in your understanding to know that you pass from death and the carnal concepts unto life, where they were astonished at his doctrine. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel, because I'm set to defend it. And to defend it, I've got to preach it. If it hardly ups the devil and puts a kink in his back and he goes straight to hell, so be it. That's where he belongs. And all those people who have gone there with him are going to be there with him to enjoy their unbelief and to cringe and to die and to die and to die. They're already dead and twice dead. Call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. 423-259-0606. Write me tonight. My address? Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee 37874. If you'd like to talk in your assembly, call Pastor Buddy. If you can refute this message, then somebody's going to have to rewrite the Bible. The Catholic didn't do a good enough job to destroy the truth. They left just enough that we could glean the field for understanding. And with the wings of an eagle, we could fly into the heavens and the heavenlies and rejoice with one another that we are celestial beings and the family of Yah. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow night, 10 o'clock around the world on WWRB, if we can get in there tonight. Praise Yahweh. We keep getting cut off for some reason. We don't understand why. We're going to have to take it up with management. We'll see what's going on. Yahweh bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night. We love you.